And today I'm going to talk about the heart of God. It will not do justice to speak for 25 minutes the heart of God. So forgive me, disclaimer, forgive me, but I want to do my very best to communicate that for the whole month of May as we start off a whole missionary summer campaign very similar to what Lansing is doing. We're trying something new. Here in Grand Rapids, because God is moving our hearts, He's moving your heart to do great things for God. Amen to that. Amen. We're going to go ahead and start off with a prayer. It's good to see Ron back. Yeah. Only God really knows what's inside his body, right? All the doctors and everybody else, the CAT scan and all that. At the end of the day, you may see something, the next day God takes it off. So it's not technology, it could be God. So what we're going to do, we're going to take some time to pray. Everybody smile at Lauren because we're going to go ahead and pray. If you are physically able, we're going to go on our knees and pray. We're going to ask God for healing. We're going to ask God for miracles to happen. We're going to pray for we can come back to Cornerstone this fall. We got a lot of prayers. Great to see a lot of people from Calvin. If you're visiting with us, the Grand Rapids Church, as Tony Fracaroli said earlier on today, we're a church. We want to love God, connect with God, and make God known around us here in Western Michigan. So let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, truly, truly are a great God. Father, we're moved by brothers and sisters in Johannesburg, South Africa, and their faith. God, you're an incredible, powerful healer, provider, comforter, supporter, forgiver. And Lord, help us to understand and take a glimpse of your heart to stop everything around us. As you told Job, be still and know that I'm God. And Father, in our busy lives, I pray that we will be still this morning and take heart to listen to your voice, to listen to the word. God, thank you for each one of us here. We thank you for a beautiful May. Help us to enjoy. Help us to enjoy each other's company. And Father, help us to connect with the scriptures. I pray, God, that as we hear the word, that we'll open our heart and our mind to the truth. Clear all the confusions away, Lord. We want to be your servants. We want to be followers of you 100%. Just like the people back in the Bible in the first century. Not just a Sunday Christian, but God, a disciple, a follower of you with all our hearts. But God, you and I know, Lord, we are all weak and we need you, we need each other. Thank you, God, for this morning. We love you so much. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to talk about the heart of God. So before that, a quick couple of announcements. If you're married, are going to get married fairly soon. We got a marriage workshop, which is very, very informative. Me and Pam are going to do our very own workshop Saturday, May 19th. So if you're a married couple, grab a copy. It's 10 to 3. We're going to do a hometown missionary. Okay, it's a training for the whole month of summer. We got quiet times here. Please grab a copy. Ushers will pass it on. But it's the first page. It's about being ready. Getting our hearts ready for the Lord. And I want to share a little bit here. Each week's lesson is accompanied by a daily training packet. Paul makes a bold claim about the power of Scripture when we put it into action in our lives. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture's God breath, profitable for teaching, correction, rebuking, and training in righteousness, So the Bible is not to be read as other books, but when we read it properly, we trained ourselves to be competent and equipped for all kinds of goodness. The goal of these weekly training packets full of daily devotions and challenges is to make you ready. Now, I have been on the mission field and I got a lot of training how to be a missionary, but this is not going on a third world. We're going to be learning to be a missionary right here in West Michigan. Amen? So we got read ready, okay? So reading every day, examining, getting deep into the Word, looking at our hearts and connecting with the Word of God. And then application, that's A. D is do. There are some fun stuff to be able to help us, guide us along. And yield, just really connecting with God, taking a moment and connecting. So this whole week is about the heart. We're going to learn about our heart, God's heart. God is jealous. God is brokenhearted. He's patient. He's faithful. He's counting on you and me. He is full of love. So it's all about this week. Feel free to grab a copy. You don't have one. I got some more here. That'll be awesome. Okay. The heart of God. God has a heart, just like you have a heart. Okay? And I want us to turn our Bibles to in 1 Chronicles 28. And here, God speaks to Solomon. He speaks to Solomon in chapter 28, verse 9. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. And if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. And so here God is making the point, and he's talking to Solomon. He's saying, you know what? I'm searching every heart. I'm looking all around the world. In Jeremiah, God talks about that. He goes through every city. He's going through Lake Michigan. He's going through Beltline. He's going through Leonard Street. He's looking all over. He's looking at 28th Street and the 36th and the 44th and the 68th. He's looking all over to see if my people are devoting their time to me. And so that's, maybe I'm not called your street address, but he's searching. He's looking. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And a powerful, powerful scripture. When you look at 9 and 10, and I think a lot of times we don't comprehend God, and we think about life, and I'm here, and now what am I supposed to do with my life, and what's my future, and what am I going to do, and what am I going to study, and where I'm going to go, and where I'm going to live, and where I'm going to work, and who I'm going to marry to, and which bank account, and which house, and which mortgage, and which bank, and which phone, and I'm tired. Which shop to go and store, to which mall, and which store, should I go to Meijer, should I go to Safeway, should I go to a 28th Street store, I heard about the latest food market, and that fresh market, and I'm going to go everywhere, I mean, just, you know, our mind is occupied, what shoes to wear, and that shoe, I've seen about three shoes today, I said, yeah, I'm going to wear this one. But it took a minute. With shirt, it took another 2 minutes. Tie, I mean, it takes time. And so we're all over the place in our life, but God wants us to settle down and focus on him. And I hope you learn a little bit something new today about your heart and about God's heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 9. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. Don't you feel a burden sometimes? The burden to you pay a bill, the burden to raise up your child or grandchild. It's a burden. And I'm already thinking about where we're all going to be in church in the fall. It's a burden. I pray through it and give it over to the Lord, and sometimes still burden's still there. But I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to put it out before the Lord, and God is always, in my 25 plus 30 years, He has always provided a place. And if there's no four walls, then we'll meet in Lake Michigan. Or we'll meet at the park. But there's a place on this earth. Are you with me? We can come together, maybe the swimming pool, I don't know. We'll go somewhere. But here God is saying the burden is something more deeper. He has made everything beautiful in His time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet, they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. God not only made you, He set eternity in your hearts. What does that mean? In King James, it talks about He set the whole world in your heart. Go figure that one. The Greek word is aeon, A-I-O-N. It says it's a time. It's a time span. It's a cycle of time. That means you know that you will live 60, 70, 80 years. There was a time I thought I'd live forever, 100 years, I'm going to be here for the next century. And then I go to a funeral. Oh, I guess, man, he was only 65. Or you hear about a death and like, man, maybe it's not forever. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, you're familiar with that scripture, the Great Commission. God says, you know, go and make disciples and baptize them and then teach them to obey. But then right at the end, Jesus says, I am with you till the very end of the age. It's that same meaning at the end of the age. Word is talking about here in Solomon. That means God is saying, I'm going to be with you physically, but I want to be with you spiritually to eternity. Come follow me all the way to heaven. It's eternal. It's forever. And I love the full circle because God brought us to the world. He lets us go through the journey through the earth, and then when we die, we want to go back to Him. It's a full circle. But you and I will be tested. Are you going to make the full circle? Are we going to fall off halfway and lose it on this beautiful earth which He made in our time? Because God gives us a choice. He gives you and me a choice what to do. Isn't that beautiful? When I study the Bible with people, I love giving them a choice. I give them a lot of questions. So what do you think about your life? What do you think about the scriptures? What do you think about changing your life? What do you think about dying to your old and living new? How do you feel about a community? How do you feel about serving? How do you feel about sharing Jesus to people? I'm just bombarding. I love doing that. Why? Because I want them to think about their life and connect with the scriptures. Because if we don't, then we're going against God's mission. God's mission, not just build the whole earth and make it so beautiful that we can acknowledge, we can say it's beautiful and give Him glory. But you have a choice. We have a choice. And so here God wants us to have that spirit and take us all the way to heaven. Today, if you don't have the spirit, you got to talk about it. If it's all about you, then you got to talk about it. It's because either it's you or the Spirit. You can't have both. Now, you may be challenged. Flesh is weak. Spirit is willing. The flesh is going to come all the time and come in and be able to change your thinking. Why do I have to pray? See, that's the flesh. Because God says you need to pray, right? Oh, I can pray later. Oh, I got time later. And God's like, hey, you may die on the way. But what if you knew that? You'd be praying right now. So we don't know the future. We got to pray because that's our opportunity to pray and connect with God. I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Hosea. And God, I just love the scripture. This was a God moment for me back in 1987. In my dorm room, my college days, my final year, and I thought I lost God. Because I was getting drowned with school. I failed in my final computer science course and what's my future? I'm going to go on the mission field. I've never done this before. I don't have any money. I don't know where to live. And on top of all that, my girlfriend didn't want to be with me. And I said, no, God, there's something wrong. And so in Hosea chapter 11, the scripture really inspired me. Verse 8 to 9, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart has changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger. It's talking about right before 1 to 8. If you read, God's kept on calling. Come on, children, I loved you. I guided you. I helped you out of Egypt. I helped you, strengthened you. I let your, break away from all your chains. But then people had a choice and they started walking away from God. And God's like, come on, people. And God says, all my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you. I will not come against their cities. Man gives into anger very quickly. But God said, I'm not a man. I'm different. I'm God. I have a choice. I will not carry out my fierce anger. And so when I was a college kid, I felt like rebelling. I felt like I'm going to throw in my towel. I don't want to do this anymore. What mission field? I'm not even happy right now. And I signed up for in 4 months. This is Feb, middle of the second week, I think during the Valentine week. I mean, that was just really bad. And May, I'm supposed to catch a flight and go to London and get trained. March, April, May. 3 months! And that's when, in my room, I prayed and I cried out to God. I think I screamed at God. God, where are you? I still remember hitting the wall. And I think I gave one soccer kick at the wall. Because I wanted an answer from God. I heard the voice of God, I still love you. In spite of all what you're going through, I still love you. You know, today maybe you're going through a lot of emotions in your heart. Only God knows and you know. Maybe you're tired of giving. Maybe you're tired of school. Maybe you're tired of church. Maybe you're tired of family life. You feel like running. You're tired of paying all those bills. I've been there. Shared that last week. Just tired. Tired of praying. Tired of reading the Bible. Just tired. Didn't want to feel like getting up. Anybody? I slept in today, by the way. I looked at the clock. It was almost 7. Like, it's not, I mean, I always get up 6, 6:15. I'm out of the bed 6:30. But 7 o'clock, I'm still there. I just jumped out. And the room was so, I mean, the whole house was so silent. We had 4 women there. Everybody just sound asleep. Man, my wife's like sleeping like a baby. I mean, like, no, I got to get up and go. I walked in late to the kids' kingdom today at 9:35, I think. Apologize to them. But I was tired. But when we are tired, down and out, what are you going to do? Are you going to go by your emotions, or are you going to get back to the Word of God? And that is what God is saying, come back to me wholehearted. Don't be caught up with your emotions, because your emotions can take you for a ride and take you out. Emotions are good if it's in check. That's why we need God. We need prayer. We need the Word of God in our heart. Replace. Those emotions would take us out. Right then, they're going to cry out and call on God. So, if you need a prayer partner, please talk to somebody. Somebody came with you today. We're here to help. We're here to guide. We want to create a family. We want to be a great support for the next generation, for the preteens, for the kids. We want to set it up for the students. Because when I was a student, somebody helped me, guided me. We got to be there for each other. We got to make time for each other. It was so beautiful yesterday. Somebody turned 40. Should I say the name? Yes, might as well. Joy had a big party yesterday. And she didn't even know about it until she walked into our house. And Andre, the giant of a heart, planned this whole beautiful thing. Invited the whole church, and we had to cut down on folks to... Anyway, that's a different story. But I appreciate the sisters and everybody coming. That was a family. I felt the love. We're talking. We had people sharing from around the world and just sharing the love for you. And yeah, it's great to be a 40. I mean, it's great to have family alongside you. Finally, we're going to close it up in John chapter 12. And at this time, I'm going to ask my friend Evan to come up, and he's going to share his story and how God's been working powerfully, and how he came to the Lord, and how he moved and all that. So I'm going to ask Evan to come up and share his story of this time.
Morning, everyone. So I'm going to kind of dive in here a little bit, but for those of you that I haven't met, my name is Evan Renwick. I'm 26. I just moved here from San Diego in January. I was born and raised out there, and I'd like to share with you my testimony about how I became a disciple of Jesus. I grew up going to church. I didn't really know who God was on the level that I obviously do now. I knew that Jesus had died on the cross for me, but I didn't really know what that meant for me personally. And growing up, I played baseball, basketball, and football. I was really athletic, good athlete, and I stayed out of trouble. I was a pretty good student for the most part, and hung around good kids. But then my freshman year of high school, things started to change for me. I gave up playing all sports, and I started hanging around the wrong crowd. I started partying a lot. I started drinking. I got into trouble with the law a couple times. I was fighting, stealing, I was in a bad relationship for about 4 years, and that was pretty bad, and just a whole lot of other crazy things that I was doing as a young teenager. But when I was about 16 or 17, I remember my dad quoting a scripture. That's my dad right there, Dave. The scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. It says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." And, you know, I you know, being 16 and 17, my response was that he had no idea what he was talking about. I was like, no, my friends aren't going to have an influence on me. I'll have an influence on them. And I was sadly mistaken. I thought I had life all figured out being 16. I thought I knew everything. I thought I was the king of the world. But then a few years had passed, and I was like 19, 18, 19, and I suffered many consequences of my bad choices, made a lot of poor choices, and I really had to do some reflecting on my life, and I stopped hanging around with all the people that I was hanging around with, and I started making an effort to turn my life around. At that time, you know, a couple years had gone by, and I was working odd jobs and just kind of doing the same thing. But then in 2014, I became an EMT in San Diego. I worked out there as an EMT for 3 years, and then graduated from the fire academy out there. But during that time, I was still chasing relationships and pursuing things that were just unfulfilling. They just didn't bring any satisfaction to my life. Still chasing after women, and I hit a point where, you know, I was doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result. I think Albert Einstein said that was the definition of insanity, and that was me. So I just started to examine my life on a deeper level, and I realized that, just looking back, my ways are destructive. My choices were very destructive, and, you know, I wanted to do something different. I wanted to be very deliberate about, you know, making a change not only in my life but in the, I wanted to make a difference in the world. I wanted to see other people change, and that started with me. So I wanted to seek out what the Creator had to say, and what His Word has to say, and what my purpose is in life. So in at the end of 2015, I started studying I went to church. And that's when I made a decision. I was like, all right, I'm gonna seek out God, see what He has to say, and I started going to the Church of Christ in San Diego. I studied the Bible with a couple brothers out there, and they taught me a lot about, you know, what it really meant to be a disciple, a follower of Christ. They were really open with me about, you know, their sin and their struggles, and even the struggles that they deal with as disciples. And so on February 12, 2016, I made the decision to follow God, and I was baptized. Jesus has been the Lord of my life. Yeah, amen. Since then, you know, I've made a lot of great friends. Even coming here over the last couple months, Jeff and Chris and Holly and Rachel and just, I've made a lot of great friendships, and I still have great friendships in San Diego. I talk with at least three or four of them weekly. I lost my train of thought here. But I've made a lot of great friendships. Hopefully, all of them will be lifelong friendships, eternal friendships, I hope. But a lot of great memories. I've fallen into a deeper love and fear of God. And I've faced many challenges daily and tests of my faith. There's been tough choices that I've had to make to continue in my faith to where I could look back and go back to, you know, like a dog goes back to its vomit. I had to turn towards God. And tons of mistakes along the way. But I couldn't imagine giving up my relationship with God after seeing all that he has done for me and just all of the grace and mercy that he has shown me. Just all of the blessings in my life. I couldn't trade it for anything. The good and the bad, really. That's pretty much it. But I wanted to share two scriptures with you guys. One of them is pretty well known, John 10:10. Says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And I really feel like my life is very full at times. And I thank Jesus for that. And then another scripture is Psalms 39, verse 4 through 7. Says, Lord, remind me of how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is just a breath. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My hope is in you. My only hope is in you. So that's it. I also want to just lift up all the sisters. Yesterday they had an encouragement day for us brothers. And, you know, they wrote us cards and sang for us and made us all kinds of food. And we played volleyball. And it was just awesome. We felt really, really encouraged and just really special. So we just want to thank you guys for that. Yeah, it was awesome. But
thanks, Evan. Thanks for sharing. In John 12:48-50, if you haven't read already, Jesus talks about his heart. It's so deep, I love it. I'm just going to close it up and we have a prayer and we'll take the bread and the wine as we commune. As for the person who hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge them, for I do not come to judge the world but to save it. There's a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him on the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. You know, I love the togetherness. I mean, God and Jesus, they're together, same message from day one till today. And he doesn't want to sway away from the Bible, go against it. And it's so important that we really stick to the word, because that's going to be eternal life for us at this time. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll take the communion. Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Father, that we can have a glimpse of you. Our Lord, you're looking throughout the world. You're searching. You're looking at the heart, just like you looked at David. You looked at Solomon. You looked all the people, Lord, during the Hosea time, and even in the first century, and even today, Father, you're looking for people who really give their hearts to you, their whole mind, their whole heart, and their whole soul, and their whole strength. Father, there's some way that someone in this crowd has been touched by the God's word, that they will learn They'll open their heart. They will get into a Bible study just like Evan was talking about. And God, be able to search the truth and be connected with you. At the end of the day, Lord, it's not just to connect with the church, but to connect with you. And as soon as we do that, Lord, the more and more, then we become a community of people who connect with you. And Father, as we take the bread and the wine, let's commune and examine our heart. And God, we are weak. We know that, Lord. And God, that we will talk about our weakness and we'll talk about our strengths and we'll get into the Word in a deeper way. Thank you so much for this time. Thank you, Father, for providing us fellowship. Thank you for the cornerstone. Thank you for each one of us. Help us be, Father, a hometown missionary this summer. God, we're not worthy to stand here. But God, we are so ungrateful that we can have a relationship with you. Thank you, Father, for one another. Thank you for the Spirit. You have set eternity in our hearts. Help us, Father, to carry on in this earth and go and meet you and have eternal life. Lord, we love you so much. In his name, amen.